أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، صاحب العصر والزمان، خليفة الرحمن، إمام الإنس والجان، ولعن الله أعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. It is an absolute honor for me to address the Jaffrey community here in Toronto, my beloved JCC community, in, you know, the beautiful month of Ramadan. I had the honor of addressing all of you for a few lectures last year, and I have been given that same honor this year as well. I am with you for 4 nights, and inshallah, I pray that Allah has, you know, accepted so far our week-long worship of the month of Ramadan. And, you know, I wanted to approach this month with a little bit of a different lens. And inshallah, my topic that I'll be with all of you or discussing with all of you for the next 4 nights, you know, it'll kind of slowly develop throughout this opening speech of mine, and you'll understand exactly what I want to accomplish with all of you in the next 4 nights. But initially, you know, what I want all of us to understand is that, you know, in certain cultures, in certain parts of the world, the first of spring is the first day of the new year for them. January 1st for certain cultures in certain parts of the world is the first day of the new year for them. For farmers and for individuals who now, you know, grow their crops, the first day of autumn is considered to be the first day of the year for them. For students now, in September is the first day of the year, the beginning of a new year now. For the traveler on the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the musafir, the journeyman, the journey person, the wayfarer on the path towards Allah, the first of the of Ramadan is the beginning of the new year. The month of Sha'ban is the last month of the year for people like this, and the arrival of the month of Ramadan is the first month of their year. This is now where they begin to lay the grounds for the next 12 months. Think about, you know, the excitement of the new year. Think about the promises, the resolutions. Think about, you know, all this change you have in store for yourself. This is the year of this, the year of that. We know, we label the year, right? We're refreshed, we're renewed, ready to begin, right? We put that kind of, you know, past year behind us, and now we really want to start off the year on the right note. We are all on a journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us, the arrival of the month of Ramadan is the arrival of a brand new spiritual year. And I want us to understand the magnitude of this month. Now, a lot has been said, a lot will be said. You know all about the basics of the month of Ramadan, you know, the acts to perform, the du'as that are mustahab, the Quran, all that. I don't want to go down that route. That's been discussed, I'm sure, already. We're already a week into the month. What I want all of us to understand, and the approach that I want for myself first and all of you in this month of Allah, is to understand first and foremost that we are the guests of Allah. You've heard it 1,000 times, but do we understand what that means? The last sermon of the month of Sha'ban, on the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban, delivered by our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, is a beautiful, encompassing package summarizing the principles of the month of Ramadan. In there, he says, this is that month, du'itum fihi ila dhiyafatillah, that we are, or you are invited towards the banquet of Allah. He has invited you. Now, I don't know what all of you do, but when I'm invited to a certain function, or let's say a wedding, or I don't know, some sort of celebration, let's say, for example, and somebody goes out of their way to invite me, when I arrive there, I make it a point to go straight to the host to kind of let them know indirectly that, look, we accepted your invitation. We're here. We've arrived. Now, this host of mine will do everything it can to make sure that I am comfortable throughout the program. In fact, in certain weddings now, you'll have the family greet people at the door, seat them accordingly. If you need anything, let us know. During the dinner time, going table by table by table, making sure that did you take food, anything I can get you, are you okay, are you comfortable? All of these things are there. We equally, when we are invited by Allah, we must stand in front of Allah and say, Allah, I'm here. I've arrived. I accepted your invitation. Okay? That announcement alone is a huge ordeal. I'll tell you why. I'm going to go slow tonight. Okay? I know I only have 4 lectures and I have a lot of content to share with all of you, but I want to really build up to it. I want all of you to understand what I would like you all and myself to extract from this month. It's not a checklist. It's not a hunger strike. It's not only decor and dropping off dates at someone's house. Those all things are great. But let's focus on something else. It's been a very difficult year for some people. I know I thought for sure that by the time this month of Ramadan rolls out, our centers would be open. We wouldn't have to go through a virtual Ramadan again. Some things are not meant to be virtual. Month of Ramadan is definitely one of them. This is a communal month. There is this certain joy and lizzat and pleasure you get in sitting beside your fellow community member opening your fast, bringing a cup of tea to an elder, let's say, for example. There's always those people who had the plate of dates and going around making sure everybody had a date and a kajur to open their fast with. A little bit of a speech, nothing too long. A little bit of dua, you know, some breaking bread, some sipping of the tea, right? This, what was in part of the beauty of the month of Ramadan, is a communal aspect. And that, again, this year is not there. This past year, while for some has been, you know, beneficial, it's been soothing, it's been a revolution, it's been a reform. For others, it's been very difficult. Okay. Families have fallen apart, unfortunately. Our mental health issues are skyrocketing. People have immense anxiety and stress. People have lost jobs, have lost confidence. Their social anxiety now has gone through the roof. The fear of the unknown. Our kids are in and out of schools. It hasn't been an easy year. And with that now comes a lot of scars, some problems, broken hearts, right? A lot of pain, sleepless nights. There are people who simply can't find the motivation to get out of bed, to put a comb through their hair in the morning, right? Things haven't been easy. And then along comes an invitation from God to say, come, I'm inviting you. Okay. Now we can simply ignore that invitation and treat this month like every other month. There are some of you who don't fast, and you should fast, but you don't fast for reasons that are between you and your God. But you know, have you ever tried to fast just once? You don't have to stay at God's banquet for 30 days. You can come for 1 hour, 1 5 minutes. Just come for one fast. See how that feels. But when you say labbaik to Allah's invitation, and that's really what labbaik means, right? That I am here. Now, he's not inviting a portion of you. He's not inviting just the fixed portion, the strong portions. He's saying, I want all of you, every dimension of you, strong and weak, broken, and fortified, all of you, to come to my banquet. And so with a broken heart, scratching rock bottom, all sorts of, you know, tribulations and hardships, we arrive at the door of Allah's banquet. The Dhiafatillah, this banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heavy burden of our sins, the weight of our mistakes, the weight of this world, the weight of our tests and our tribulations, all of it now we carry and we arrive at Allah. And when you arrive at Allah's banquet, you look around, you'll notice that, wait a second, this is not a room filled with infallibles. This is not a room filled with the awliya of Allah, the maraje, you know, those who are the cream of the cream of the cream of piety. You'll notice there's a lot of broken hearts in this room. Shattered dreams in this room. A life that they thought they would have at 40. And they're sitting there saying, this is not what I imagined my life to be at 40. The weight of that, the heaviness of that reality, all of that. And you start to realize that, wait a second now, maybe God's inviting me to fix me. Maybe God now has sent an invitation. Because by the way, to be invited by God is not, you know, something that's normal. I mean, anybody who's planned a major event in the life of the family, be it a wedding or be it whatever, the most daunting task, I think, is to try to create the wedding, the invite list. Who do you cut? Who do you include? So imagine now God now, you know, making this list. Okay, who do I want to invite to my banquet? And your name is on the list. And when your name comes up, he says, yes, for sure I want this person at my banquet. Absolutely. There are people in our wedding list that, you know what, I can't have the wedding unless this family is here, this person is here. These people are for sure. There's always a list of the maybes. If we're able to have more time, if a few people drop out, then maybe these people can come on a list. But there's a list of for sure. These are people that, you know, if no one is there, I want these people there. That's the list that you're on. Why would God invite me? Why would God include me? You take a $100 bill and you step on it. You drop it in mud. You wrinkle it up. You fold the corners such that when you open it up, it's wrinkled, partly ripped, torn, dirty, maybe even some pen marks on it. But the value of that bill is still $100. It's not like now it's $97. In whatever state that you are in as you've entered now the month of Ramadan, Allah has seen the fact that no matter what, how you see yourself, I still see you as وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَا. We've honored the human being. We've given that human being dignity. So now I arrive at God's banquet with pieces of my heart in front of me, rock bottom in darkness, saying, God, look, I'm here. And if it's true that you've asked us now, the moment that you call upon me, say yes to my invitation, I will answer your call. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call upon me, he says, I'll answer you. Then help me to relieve the burden off my shoulders. Help me to lighten up my heart. I have shattered pieces of my heart in my hands. Help me put this heart together. Now, how does he do that? What is the way that he does that? I'll give you a very simple example. I'll get to my topic soon, I promise you. I want you to imagine there is an individual in solitary confinement. Okay? And every single day, five times a day, or multiple times a day, his jail cell opens and he's allowed to go out in the yard. Just go and you can roam freely. Feel the breeze. Feel the heat of the sun. Be with your fellow person. Look around to the trees and the animals and whatever is out there. This is your escape. This is your outlet from your solitary confinement. 4 to 5 minutes max, then back inside the prison. Now you would think for a moment that the only way that this inmate is getting through day by day his time in solitary confinement are the specific moments of a day where he's allowed to breathe in the fresh air of God. So he can literally see now, because every day exactly at the same time, multiple times a day, he knows that the prison guard is coming. He can hear now his footsteps down the hallway. He can hear the jingling of his keys. Oh, he hears those keys His heart now begins to get excited. He perks up now. He jumps out of bed. He stands there. Before the prison door could open, he's ready. He hears that the door unlocking. It's open. And he doesn't even wait for it to be open full enough. He goes bolting out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please understand this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 5 times a day, says, come, escape the madness, escape the prison, escape the hardships and the anxiety and the stress and the difficulty, escape the fact that you and your spouse aren't on the same page, you and your kids aren't on the same page, you and your siblings are not talking properly, you and the world now, everything, you don't have confidence in yourself, escape all of that and come out to my yard. Feel my breeze, feel the heat of my sun. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Allah says, we say, Allah, you alone, we worship you alone, we ask for help. It's there 5 times a day now. Allah says to escape the madness now and use my worship as an outlet. Use my worship as an outlet. That's every day. You know, in the book of Adab al-Salat, the etiquettes of prayer, there is a chapter in the book that talks about the etiquette of time of Salat. 2 chapters on the etiquette and the adab of time. Chapter 30 of that book, the author writes that those individuals who are in tune with God, who see worship as an outlet, they eagerly await the timing of Salat. They want to seize the opportunity to drown themselves in the dhikr of Allah, in the remembrance of Allah, if not for anything else than for an outlet for their problems. We go to this counselor, we go to this device, this TED Talk, that Instagram account, this individual, that numbing device, that drug, this food, this television show, all of it to numb, or somehow get through my difficulty right now. And meanwhile, sometimes one of the most powerful ways that we have as an outlet for our problems has been under our nose since we were a child. The worship of God. This month of Ramadan, 30 days of the jingling of the keys. 30 days of walking down the hall. 30 days of you, what now, having the prison door open and feeling the breeze of God. Worship was never meant for God. وَمَا خَلَقْتَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and man except that he worship or they worship me. Is that worship for God? If tomorrow now we increase our worship, will God increase in his essence? No, of course not. If tomorrow, if God forbid, I decide to leave the religion, it doesn't affect God's kingdom. Why this emphasis on worship? Why this idea to do this? Sometimes it drives our youth crazy. Maybe, just maybe. Because when we pair this verse with the verse that I read for you in the khutbah from Surah Talaq, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If you are God conscious, if you worship me, and I am present in your life, I'm central in your path, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. I will place for you, I will give to you, I will create for you, I will place in front of you a مَخْرَجًا, an outlet. This worship was never meant to be a burden. It was never meant to be a checklist. It was always meant to be an escape, an outlet. It was meant to be the 5 minutes in the yard. My sisters and my brothers, there are many of you right now who have stood at the door of the month of Ramadan, and albeit we're 1 week in, I get it. We're still trying to adjust, you know, physically to this fast. There'll come a time where the body will now adjust to the fact that, look, this guy's not going to give me food until Maghrib. Fine. That's when you capture the moment and you look to heal. And you trust the fact that this is not a banquet of infallibles. This is not a banquet of the high of the high. This is a banquet of the brokenhearted. This is a banquet of those who have hit rock bottom. This is you now at your most vulnerable, everyone has left you. Everyone has turned their back on you. You've completely now stripped yourself of any reliance on anything in this world. In that state now, you stand there at the door of the banquet of God and say, God, I am here. You invited me. I accepted your invitation. Now fix me. Relieve me. In that same chapter 30 in Adab al-Salat, Etiquette the Prayer, there is a couplet by Rumi that the author brings about. Rumi, Mawlawi. In it he says, and the last line of the couplet is, the chosen one would say, relieve us, O Bilal. Who was Bilal? Bilal was the Mu'adhin of the Holy Prophet, the one who gave the Adhan. Relieve us. What does that mean? How could Bilal relieve us? The heart of the Prophet was heavy. You know, the sheer idea that he is the seal of prophethood was heavy. But it was the sound of the Adhan. It was the sound of that first Allahu Akbar that would relieve his heart. Park it all aside. Put away everything. Put the people of Mecca to the corner. Put the issues of the people of Medina. Put the hypocrisy of the Khazraj and Aus tribe aside. This is my 5 minutes in the yard. The Holy Prophet would hear the Adhan and he'd feel calm. He'd ask Bilal, Bilal, relieve me of all this. Go to Allah this month. Say, God, relieve me of all this. Relieve me of all this. It's a brand new year for me. And trust the fact that he is always with the brokenhearted. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. It did not take Nabi Yunus. It didn't, you know, it wasn't right away that he understood that what I did with my people and Nawah was not right. Not in a sin, but there was a better path to choose. It took the darkness to understand. It took the fact that he was isolated. It took the fact that, you know what? I get it now. But it took the darkness to say what? An la ilaha illa anta subhanaka. There is no glorification but to you, God. There's many of you who are broken. Many of you who are hurting. Many of you who are quietly, silently suffering. You don't even tell your closest loved ones. You just swallow that. And somehow you park it. Somehow you find a compartment for it. But trust the fact that God knows the state of your hearts. He's Ya Muqallib al-Qulub. He's the transformation. He's the fluctuator of hearts. He knows that in this state now, where she is the most vulnerable now, she's come to me. Imagine the message you send God when you're scratching rock bottom. Everyone else, it seems, has closed the door on you. You've relied so heavily on this person and that person. Your spouse doesn't get you. Your kids don't get you. Your parents don't get you. Your siblings don't get you. Your in-laws don't get you. Your friends don't get you. Now all of a sudden the world becomes very, very lonely. And at rock bottom now, at the utmost vulnerable now, you strip yourself of all the fake and all the facade, and the real you is sitting there at the door of the banquet saying, God, I am here. I'm here. This is me. No filters, no hashtags, no 1,000 selfies and choose the right one. This is me, God, at my most vulnerable. You've told me to come to you. I have. With him with encouragement now, I've come to you. In this month of Ramadan, this is going to be different. This is going to be different. Beyond the actual amal, beyond the checklist, beyond the apps, beyond everything. And you know what? All of that, you know, is secondary. The primary is this is a month of freedom. This is a month of the cutting of the chains, the unlocking of the handcuffs, the lightening of the burden off your shoulders, the freeing of yourself from yourself. We're stuck in a prison. We tell ourselves, I wonder when the person with the keys will come and open my door. When will the key? And meanwhile, in the back pocket, we can hear the keys ourselves. We are the inmates. We are the prison guard. And trust the fact that Allah has secured the hearts of those before you, and He'll do it for you as well. You just need a little bit of certainty. Worship is an outlet. Worship is an outlet. It's not a burden. And yes, you have to go through a little bit of discomfort and be a little bit uneasy to grow. Absolutely. All of you understand that. That growth does not happen through comfort always. Growth sometimes happens when we enter an arena, a realm that either we feared or simply not familiar with. But Allah says, وَعَنَ عَسَى تَكْرُهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It could be that you despise something, you don't like something, it's uncomfortable, it hurts. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's actually very good for you. You know, one of the most beautiful examples I have from the Quran. And then I'll end with this. You know, these are not long discussions, just small reminders for you and for all of you and for myself as well. The mother of Nabi Musa. Beautiful story. An incredible moment between a mother and a child. The love of a mother captured beautifully in the Quran. فَأَلْقِهِ فِي الْيَمِّ The Quran says, she was asked to throw her child in the flowing river, in a random basket, some sanduk, some say, not knowing what's going to happen. Will the animal grab it? Will it drown? Will it flip? Will he fall out? No idea. There comes a moment where the basket is out of the view of the mother. She can't see the basket anymore. The Quran captures a moment where she's about to break, about to stream. The men of Fir'aun all around her. If she says a single word, her son will be no more. At that moment when she's on the verge of saying, that's my son, someone save my son. Allah says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Allah grabs that heart of the mother of Musa and he ties it. He avoids it from breaking. He secures it. He says, look, don't burst. Don't worry. I'm the glue. I'm that rubber band. I'm that factor that ties your heart together. I won't let that heart shatter. If he does it to the mother of Musa, why can't he do it to all of you? He can. It's a matter of you saying, I have arrived. I'm here, God. You invited me. I'm here. Don't take du'itum fihi ila dhiafatillah lightly. Don't take the idea that in this month you have been invited to the banquet of Allah. Don't think for a moment it's about food or about iftar parties or about decorations. That's all maybe a very, very, very secondary part of it. The primary is you. This is the most beautiful month of Allah. He chose to invite you to His most beautiful month. The barakat, the rahmah, the maghfirah, the love, the compassion, the grace. We cannot for a moment even account for an ounce of the amount of grace that Allah has in this month. أَنْفَاسُكُمْ فِيهِ تَصْبِيحٌ وَنَوْمُكُمْ فِيهِ عِبَادَةٌ The Prophet says, your breath is glorification, your sleep is ibadah. The grandest night of the year arrives in this month, where now he says you can represent 83 years, if not more, of your life. That's all in you and the insan. So it's not about the Shabi Qadr, about this and that. This is about you. You have that capacity. You have that ability. But you need strength. You need to come up and dust yourself up. And I get it. I get it. All these words would sound great 6 months ago, Sayyid. But you know, the example that I'll give, and I'll end with this, inshallah, is, you know, when someone is sleeping and they like to sleep in complete darkness, every light is off, the curtains are pulled, and you come in and you shine the brightest of lights in their face. They won't like it. They'll say, close the light. I've just spent a whole night in darkness. I don't want that bright flashlight. Sometimes even the words that are good in their essence, people are so used to being in darkness that even those beautiful, pious words, they don't want to hear. So what do? You install a dimmer in your room. And you slowly dim the lights from dark to a little bit, then a little bit, then a little bit. My question I'm going to leave you with tonight, and we'll resume this tomorrow, is if you are an individual that's arrived at the banquet of Allah with scars and triggers and hardships and unhappiness, what is the tiniest step you could do in this month of Allah to fix that. I don't want to hear about, you know, I read the Quran 3 times. That's all great. Alhamdulillah. Fantastic. What's your tiniest step? That's all I ask. Tiniest of steps. The smallest of steps. Start there. Inshallah, from there, Allah now will begin, just as a host, as every other guest, make your stay comfortable and beneficial in this month of Allah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our qaleel worship, inshallah. Forgive our sins. Heal our hearts. Give us that understanding that we are your guests in this month. We ask you, Allah, please, to inspire us this month. Make this the best month that we can. Let us begin our spiritual year on the right foot. And finally, Allah, we ask you to make us worthy of the arrival of the Imam, such that we stand beside him when he comes. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow night. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.